Don't skip these steps while hiring.
Or you'll end up with this guy.
Bruh.
If you want to hire great employees,
not John,
you need to stay tuned
as we discuss the necessary steps for hiring your employees.
Here's our five-step hiring process that gets you this. The first step in our hiring process is defining the roles and responsibilities of the job.
So the first thing you need to know is, what are the responsibilities of the people you are hiring?
So generally, you want to figure out responsibilities. You want to see, what are the main things that matter to that person's job duties that actually gets the outcome that you need. Now, when it comes to those responsibilities, Eddie, what is the responsibility to Elmer Fudge?
Okay, for example, if you are hiring somebody for your warehouse team, generally their responsibilities would be, you know, cleaning the equipment, organizing, prepping, staging items for deliveries. So you want to have all that kind of stuff listed out as the responsibilities that they need to do.
All right, and the second thing is qualification.
So when you look at qualifications, you want to look at people's background histories and everything on that line, but you want to make sure that this is something that someone has done before. Now, example of qualifications for someone in the warehouse would be
warehouse experience over in a year, material handling, good customer service, good organized, oriented individuals.
And they need to be somebody that you can work with and is okay with coming in with issues.
All right, so third is expectations.
You need to have some type of expectations, and you do most times. You just don't write out. Write out the expectations what you have for this position.
Yes, because one thing's for sure, you might think one thing and the other individual might think another. So make sure that's written out, and that way it's very clear during the hiring process, so there's no misinterpretation of, you know, your expectations of what needs to be done for the role.
Because I expect them to be here on time and actually work. They might expect to just get a check.
Okay.
Now that you got your responsibilities, your qualifications, and your expectations for your job, and you got it listed out, written out, we go to the second part of our process, is posting the job across multiple platforms.
So the first platform is Indeed.
Indeed it is. And the best thing about Indeed, first of all, from Austin, you know, right now. But other than that, I don't know what they really do in Austin. You know, we in Dallas. But Indeed is most times is free on there. They will sometimes blackball you sometimes later on if you post to me in jobs. But it's free. You can get out there really easy. It's an easy setup. You can set you up a employer's account. And I really like it. And it's something we use on a regular daily basis.
Second is your own personal website.
My personal favorite, because it's free. It's on your website, very easy to manage. And the cool thing is you're getting traffic through there, through clients, and they're seeing it at no cost to you.
And putting it on your website is actually really good, because when I was job hunting, what I did was I would Google the companies that I'd like or would like to work at, and then I'd go to their careers page, and that's how you see all the information. So yeah, some people, if they just like your company as a whole, they'll just look up your company to try to work with you. Third is Facebook groups.
So hiring through Facebook groups, there are many groups over specific types of people career paths. Like, it's one for bartenders, it's one for wedding professionals, it's one for people who are movers. You can go to these places, post your jobs on there. It's a good way to get a lot of people to come back who needs jobs if you're in a hurry. We used it a couple times, it worked out. One time we used it, we got a couple of people that Eddie knew who came through the job posting. They didn't work out though, but that's because we weren't in a situation, because we didn't have our responsibilities, qualifications, expectations, and they were solved.
So the very fourth and last one is ZipRecruiter.
My least favorite, because it's the most expensive, but it gives you results very fast. It posts your posting across the board of a whole bunch of different platforms, but it's all in one. So you'll get applications coming through there very fast, because like I said, they'll use it Indeed to post your post. I think Monster and other stuff like that.
It's like 50 of them.
Yeah, so they're like 50 of them, and it's pretty cool, and it's super fast, and you get a lot of good candidates.
The third step in our hiring process is reviewing applications and resumes.
My favorite part of the whole experience is going through people's resumes and experiences. Basically, I'm looking for candidates that fit the position that I'm trying to get filled. So I'm looking into experience, how many years have they been in the workforce, the time frames that they've been, you know, at each job. It kind of gives you a profile of the individual, you know, schooling. And then also sometimes they put their ambitions on the top, which I like. I personally read that, and just to see what kind of individual that I'm dealing with.
Yeah. And if you are hiring for things like media, like me, something that I also look into is your portfolio. How much work have you done specifically in terms of projects? And if they have any extra information, you could look them up on social media, LinkedIn, anywhere you could name it.
My favorite thing is to look at their political profiles, look at their photos, look how they wear them, and then look how much their credit scores is. I like to look at that in the resume. The fourth step in the hiring process is conducting the interviews. And this is where I fade out.
All right, so conducting the interview is actually probably my favorite part whenever I'm finding candidates. This is actually whenever you're able to see how they react to things, if they're able to answer your questions, and if their resume is true or false. Whenever I'm in an interview, there are specific things that I look for. First, I want someone with a positive personality, so someone who is able to fit in with our group culture. They're able to talk to clients. They're able to talk to their coworkers without having an issue. Secondly, I look for qualifications, and not just qualifications on paper, but you're going to have to be able to answer the questions that I'm giving you. Because if you're putting it on paper, it must mean that you know what you're talking about. The third thing that I look for, and I think this is the most important thing, is I'm looking for someone who is willing to learn. Yes, you could have someone who is overly qualified, but if they're not willing to learn or change their ways, you could be in a situation where you're not able to improve the quality of your project or, you know, what you're doing just because they don't want to go above and beyond what they already know.
Me personally, I enjoy the interview process, like when you sit down with everybody, because I know whenever you look on paper, you see all their qualifications, and then now you can put a face to a name. My main thing, what I do is like more on a psychological level. I like to bait a lot and then see if they'll take the bait. So what I'm looking for is like kind of the same thing that you kind of discussed. You're going over their whole resume and seeing if there's any kind of misleading information in there. And also, I want to see if I can get them to react. You know, a lot of people, they'll show frustrations if you ask certain questions and try to loop around. And I'm just trying to see if I can get that out of the individual, because those are the ones that I do not want. You don't want somebody that's like short-tempered. You want somebody that, like Tina said, that is willing to learn and wants to adapt and jump in and run with the team.
What's your two favorite questions you always ask?
Two favorite questions?
And why?
Well, one of my favorite questions is the animal question.
Are you an animal?
Yeah. No. The animal question goes like, if you can be three animals, I don't tell them that. I said, if you can be any animal, what animal would you be? And then they'll give me an animal. I said, okay, that animal, you can't choose that one. It will be your next animal. And then I said, okay, if you can't choose those two, it will be the third animal. And then basically with those, I would conduct the what kind of individual that I'm dealing with. So the first animal is what they want to be. The second one is actually what they are. And then the third one is what they think other people think that they are.
What's the weirdest thing you ever got from that?
The weirdest thing? A lot of us are like, it's true. But the number one answer was lying, because everyone wanted to be powerful.
Okay. What's the worst one that you got?
The worst one was like a sloth.
I was like, I'm guessing they didn't get the job.
They didn't get the job.
What's your second one?
The second question that I like to ask?
Yeah, the second question that you like to ask. Like, tells a lot.
Well, I just ask them for their goals, you know. Like, what do they have goals in their life? And you know, they say, I don't know, or generally try to deal with them because they're just passing through and it just generally don't make a good candidate.
Yeah. Tina, what are your two?
My favorite question is, what is a difficult experience that you've been through, you know, in your job in the past, and how did you get over it? A lot of people actually say, oh, well, like, there's nothing really that difficult. It really shows you if they're a problem solver or not. It shows you if they're truthful about their experiences, because they might not have experienced anything crazy, but if they're giving you a half answer, it means that they're not being completely truthful with you inside the interview. So my second favorite question isn't necessarily a specific question. However, every time when someone tells me their experience, I'd like to ask a follow-up question just to confirm that they've actually had that experience and that they're actually knowledgeable in what they're applying for.
This is either the best part or the worst part, but it's step number 5 in the hiring process, which is making the offer to the person. So this has a couple of different components on it. You have salary, you have benefits, what day they're gonna start, what are their work hours, what are their schedule, and then what are the expectations that you line back off, and do they understand those expectations? How do you decide on when someone's gonna start?
Generally, what I do is I look what kind of work we have going on in the warehouse, and then the manager that's on duty, what kind of tasks that he has. Because one thing that I don't want to do is put a start date where it's so busy we can't give this individual the proper training or the attention that it would that he would need or she to get up to speed. So what I'll do is I'll try to find a certain day that it's not too heavy. That way the first couple of days, get started, absorb as much information as possible. That way they have a better chance of success.
So easy with schedules, based on all this right here, your hours work, they'll separate the schedules. Now, this is one area that I think Eddie can really address really quickly, because we're about to hire a dispatch manager, I'm guessing, in the next weeks, months, something like that.
Yeah, probably in a month.
So what's your expectation for this role?
The dispatch manager, this is basically for that specific role. They're going to be in charge of basically the whole dispatch team. It goes from the customer relations, where we're doing follow-up calls on them, doing breakdowns on the days we're going to be dropping off, the time frames, the items that are being dropped off. They're basically going to be managing that. They're going to be consolidating all the reports that we get, ensuring that all the individuals are sending their reports daily. Then also that there's certain requirements that, like, for instance, there's photos that are sent or certain like receipts that are sent in for tax purposes. I just want to make sure that all that is done daily. And if it's not done, why wasn't it done, and taking care of whoever doesn't send it in.
Okay, that sounds good. But you know what always comes through for you? The ultimate checklist. Make sure you download the ultimate checklist below. It has a lot of information about some things we talked about today. And we really appreciate you guys watching this.
Hey, that's my baby.
But thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salceda.
And I'm Tina.
And we are the Rental Boys and Girl. Thank you guys so much for watching. Back to Tina.
And if you like this video and would like to see other short videos on questions or just some of our processes, please click this playlist right here. And please comment, like, share, and subscribe.
Share me. Share me.